All right. Thanks for leading us in worship, worship team. We are going to keep going in our series in Colossians, and we've been talking about some awesome stuff that Paul's been showing us about Jesus. And the name of the series is Coming Into Focus. And the reason why I'm saying that is because, as we talked about for the first almost two whole chapters now, he's talking to us about how the world wants to distract us with different messages and different things that will pull your eyes off Jesus. And even worse than that, it's going to cause your view to get distorted. So you think you're seeing who Jesus is. You think you're seeing what life is really about. You think you see the gospel clearly, but you just don't, because you've been listening to all sorts of voices that don't deserve you to listen to them. So one day you wake up and you think, you know, I've got this whole thing figured out, right? It's all good. I know the gospel. I know where I'm going. But really what Paul's saying is what happens is that we start to listen to the world and get distracted by other things. We don't have it figured out. And that's probably the worst place to be, because you think you do, and you're never going to look for Jesus because you think you have him. But really what you have is some counterfeit form of Jesus. There's no power in it. There's no power in the gospel that you're believing in. This whole story has been distorted in your mind. And so Paul's like, wait, hold on. We need to stop and look back at the real Jesus and bring this thing back into focus so you know what life really is about. Listen, y'all live in a time where you are influenced on every single side in every moment, because all you have to do is pick this thing up. And listen, if we're honest, so many of us, we're like this all day long. We're all together in a little circle talking, and if there's eight people, seven of those people undoubtedly will be doing this the whole time. Well, one person's like, well, someone just talked to me. Right? We have an addiction to this, and this isn't even about that tonight. All I'm saying is there's a lot of influence on this thing. You're hearing messages all day long. Every time you look down, you're looking at something that's giving you a message. That's why you're looking at it. Whether it's a social media site or something on the internet or text or messages from friends, you're being influenced and receiving messages, right? And all those messages add up in our hearts, and they add up in our minds and how we think about things. And it causes our view of the gospel to get distorted. And Paul's like, let's get it clear again. Let's come back into focus on this thing so we can see the real picture, so we know who Jesus is. We know what the gospel does for us. And so he did that, right? We walked through some passages already where he talked about who we are, because sometimes we think we're better than we actually are. We don't realize that we've been broken. We don't realize that we're walking dead zombies before we know Jesus. Like, we don't have life. We're headed to hell. We don't realize how much we need Jesus and how small we are and how sinful and undeserving we are. We don't want to think of ourselves that way. That's a distorted view of ourselves. And Paul reminds us just how broken we are, how much we really do need Jesus. And it starts there, because if you don't realize you need Jesus, why would you ever look for him? So luckily, he's looking for you. And as Jesus looks for you, that's what Paul says. We have to look and see who he is. We saw how big he is, how strong he is, how powerful he is, how unimaginably awesome Jesus is in every single way. And Paul spent this whole passage talking to us about how incredible your Savior is and how much he loves you. How undeserving we are of him, and yet he's like, I still love you, and I'll still die for you. And we talked about the mission, right? Like, okay, do you understand what you're doing once you meet Jesus? Like, what's the point? Like, now that I'm a Christian, what now? How has my identity changed? What should I be doing? How should I be living? What's the point of all this? And Paul's like, God has a plan for you and a mission for you to be on. And we talked about that, right? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Like, literally take it all and go, God, it's all yours. The whole thing, this whole life. Do what you want with it. Send me where you want. Make my future plans. Whatever. I trust you with all of it. And then love others as you love yourself. Serve the people around you and share the gospel with them. Like, we're on a mission to build the kingdom of God. That's why you've been saved. And so are you on that mission? Paul gets that nice and clear for us. You might go, man, that's really hard. How am I going to do that? That sounds really difficult. I'm not skilled enough to do that. And Paul says, okay, let's bring another thing into focus. I know you can't do it. That's why Jesus has to be the power in you to do it. And that's what we saw last week. With the power of Christ, you can do things you aren't even like, you're not even thinking about right now. So with the power of Jesus right now, but Jesus can do anything and everything. And so with the power of Jesus in you and his help and his guidance, you can do whatever he tells you to do. So when Jesus is like, hey, Rob, I want you to do this thing, it seems impossible. I could either look back and go, that's insane. There's no way I'm doing that. Like, why are you calling me? That seems like nonsense. Or I can go, I don't get it right now. I don't necessarily see how that's going to work out. But you are the God of all creation. So there's nothing you can't do. I think I should trust you. Paul just brought it into focus because that's exactly where we should be, trusting the power of Jesus in our hearts, in our lives, in his mission that he's given us. Jesus can do it. Now he's going to look at another topic tonight. We're looking at, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 to 23, Paul is talking to us about this next piece, which is that we, because of that power of Jesus in you, there is this connection that you have to Christ. It's an unbelievably intimate, powerful connection with your Creator. So many people are like, forget church, forget religion, forget this God thing, because they think he's some big, mean, distant, like, being out there, that all he wants to do is ruin your fun and tell you not to do stuff. I'm not going to church. They're just going to spit a bunch of rules at me and, like, make me listen to, like, boring sermons and sing these weird songs. That's not Christianity. That's not a relationship with Jesus. You're missing out if you think that's what it's all about. It's about a deep connection with your Creator God, the one who designed you and created you and gave you this incredible purpose. And until you figure out the purpose, you'll never really be happy. There's no way you can be. You're living outside of it. You're trying to get the cutest girl, the cutest boy to date you. You're trying to find the best friends to be all around you that are funny and cool and fit. You know, they dress just like you and fit in with your group. You want to be the smartest kid in class. You want to get the best job. You want to whatever. And you're like, that's when I'll be happy, when I finally have those things. You won't be. You can ask anybody who's at that level right now. They're going to tell you there's still something off. Because the only way we can really be fulfilled and happy is to be in the middle of God's purpose. And that's having an intimate relationship with the Creator who made us. That's what he wants. He wants you in relationship with him. And so that connection to Jesus is so important because we can't do anything without it. We can't even be happy, full of joy without it. There's no true satisfaction without that thing because we were created for that. And so let's read together. Colossians 2, 16 to 23, it says this. It says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they're used. According to human precepts and teachings, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they're of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Paul says some hard, deep words right here. And I don't know if you tuned out after the first verse or not, but we're about to get a whole bunch of truth that Paul's going to give us. And it's going to get wild because Paul knows a thing that some of us still need to learn. As Paul walked down that road and he was just previously killing and imprisoning and torturing Christians for saying the name of Jesus. And now he's walking down a road and there is this vision and bright light and he's blinded and thrown to the ground and loses his eyesight because of it. And hears the voice of Jesus literally call out, Paul, what are you doing to me? Calls him out. Like, why are you persecuting me? He's like, I'm not. I'm persecuting these weird Christians. Not this, whoever you are, this power. I would never do that if I knew you were behind this, right? Now that he's facing an infinite God. That changes a story. And that's what has to happen to you and me. You see, because sometimes we think he is that distant God and I've never seen him. He doesn't interact in my life. Those weird Christians talk about him. We just don't care. But when Jesus shows up, He doesn't show up as some weak little thing in your life. Jesus shows up and blinds you and sends you to the ground because he is that amazing and powerful. And when you finally get a glimpse of him and realize that's Jesus, you fall to your face. Your heart literally just breaks open because you're like, I don't even know what to do with this. I need you to accept me and forgive me. And some of us need that moment. So when we hear a passage like this, we can get the words of Paul. We can understand, wait, I know exactly what you're talking about here because he broke my heart that way and it was awesome. When I met him, he did this unbelievable thing that blew my mind. You see, this connection with Jesus is so important to everything about your Christian life. And if you think you don't need it, I could just kind of go to church, do the Christian family thing, maybe read my Bible once in a while or not, just say I do. I'll be good. Because I prayed a prayer, I accepted Jesus, I'm good. And what Jesus is saying is it's all about our connection. You abiding in me every day. You waking up and going, Jesus, let me spend my day with you. Jesus, I want you in my heart today. Jesus, I want to hear from you today. Jesus, I want to see you do miracles. I want you to talk to my friends and change their minds about who you are. I want to see people like freed from sin that's been holding them in slavery and bondage. Jesus, I want to see these incredible things. I want to know you better today. When I abide in Jesus that way, it grows in me. That connection is everything. That's how you live a Christian life. You spend time with Jesus. You stay connected and abide with Jesus. That's where the power comes from. And you're going to see it's no longer some boring religion where they preach at you and sing weird songs. It is about the most unbelievable God of the universe going, I want a relationship with you. You better hold on because I'm going to blow your mind right now with what I'm about to show you. That relationship is everything. That's what it's all about, is to come back into a relationship with your God. And some of us, we're sitting around satisfied without it. We're like, ah, that's cool. Like, I mean, I have enough church and enough Jesus to get me by, to get me in the gates. You know, when I die, I'm getting in heaven. And you're missing out on the most amazing thing you could ever be a part of. This relationship that changes everything in your life in a great way. In a way that you'll never want to go back once you taste it. That's a connection with Jesus. Paul's like, you've got a skewed view. It's distorted. You don't even see your relationship and connection with Jesus clearly. When you do, when it comes into focus, you're not going to let anything get in between you and him. I need him every second of the day. That connection is so important. But listen, we can listen to other messages. We can be convinced by other people in our lives that aren't living for Christ, that don't want to have anything to do with Christ. We can have friends that are so influential because we love that friend. We're close to that friend. We'd do anything for them. But they don't love God or Jesus or anything about your Christianity. But you're like, but I don't want to lose that friend. And so they have this huge influence in us because we listen to them. We won't want to make them happy. We don't want to lose our friends, right? Like, we're close. And there goes that view. It gets distorted because now I'm going to listen to them instead of the truth, instead of saying, I need Jesus more than anything, even you. I need Jesus more than anything else in my life. But those messages can be real loud and really distracting. I used to live up in Massachusetts, right? Cold land. Like, it's freezing up there all the time. It's like black and white is what it feels like. Everything just seems like it's like not in color and really boring and blah. And come down to Florida, it's like beautiful, right? And we have all these colors. But the cool thing we did have was snow and ice, right? We had a lot of snow and ice. If you like that type of thing, it's fun. And so I would go with my friends, we'd go out and we'd play in the snow. We'd go like find big like lakes that froze over, or even like it was cool to find little puddles that were froze over because like you could like jump on them and do weird stuff. Anyway, point is we loved to go outside and play in the woods and find these puddles. And we did one day. We went out and my sister was with us and we found this one area, and my friend had this huge backyard and it had all these like holes that were like left over from trees that had fallen over, but they were deep holes that had filled with water and then it froze. So like you would randomly just be walking and be like slipping on these like random patches of like ice, like these mini lakes that are just out everywhere. So we thought it was the coolest thing in the world because we're just little. And my sister was like, hey, you don't have any guts. And I'm like, what? I'm brave. You know, I wanted to be brave. I wanted all my friends to think I was so brave. And she's like, you won't get on that puddle of ice water right there and stand on it. And I was like, of course I will. And I go over and I stand on it and proving myself. And she's like, yeah, that's because you don't know what's under the water. I'm like, what's under the water? And she's like, there are literally sharks that made these holes. I'm like, I'm stupid. I'm like this big, right? Like, I have no idea. I'm like, what shark? You know, like, I'm actually believing her story. And so she's like, yeah, if you jump 3 times on that ice, the shark will come up and literally break the ice. You'll fall in and he will eat you. And I'm like, no, he won't. You know, I'm like, totally like, no, you're a liar. You know, I'm trying to call her out. And so I'm like, I'm going to do it. She's like, do it now. It's one of those. And so here I go. I'm like, one jump, boom. See, nothing happened. She's like, I said 3. So I go, all right, fine. So I do my second jump. Boom, I'm like looking at her, staring her down. I'm like, nothing's going to happen, woman. And she's like, oh, you're going to fall and die and a shark's going to eat you. I'm like, watch this, you know, one of those. And so I, like, the biggest jump I could ever do, because now I'm Jack, of course, my big sister wrong. And so I jump, man. I take this huge jump and I come down. And of course, that ice breaks and I sink straight down into this hole. And it's a deep one. Like, it completely over my head, sink down freezing cold water that shocks me, and I immediately almost can't feel. You know, like when you get a really cold shock, it's like, whew, almost like can't move in this puddle, and you can't swim because it's a hole like this. So like you're kind of stuck, and your body's really numb. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm actually gonna die right now. Like I'm gonna die in this hole. That's what's gonna happen. My friends didn't, my sister didn't think about that part of it, and so we're all out there just having fun. And I'm listening to them, believing them, doing like, no, whatever. And so here I am in this puddle thinking, this was totally wrong. What did I do as I'm sinking deeper in the water? Luckily, I felt these hands reach down. And all my friends reached in and literally had to pull me out because I couldn't even move at this point. I was so cold. Pull me out and drag me back to the house. We never got let outside again for like 10 years after that. It was terrible. But the deal was I listened. And I let them talk me into a thing. And even sometimes part of that was I wasn't necessarily believing them, but I was still doing what they wanted to because I was fighting them. And I was getting positioned into a place where I was losing view of the truth. Don't jump on the stinking water. Don't get on this dangerous ice pad and jump up and down. And yet somehow they were convincing enough in one way or another to get me there. I could have died that day. I was like a 7-year-old or 6-year-old kid. Way out in the middle of nowhere in the woods. Because I listened to people that didn't know the truth. And you're like, yeah, well, you were a dumb kid. Well, that probably could be true, all right? I'm not fighting you on that. But don't we do that all the time in our own ways? Aren't we all kind of dumb sometimes? Where we listen to people we have no right listening to. We know they don't know the truth. We hear the truth. We can recognize it. We go to church on Sunday mornings. And we hear it preached. We hear our parents, some of us, tell us about it. We have Christian friends who are always talking to us about it. We hear our youth pastor on Wednesday night preach about it every Wednesday night. But yet, we want to listen to those other voices, whether they be online or celebrities or friends, who are calling us to a different direction. And then our view of this connection with God and with Jesus just doesn't seem as important. Why read my Bible and spend time with Jesus when I could be doing this instead? Why be on my Bible when I could stop and I could just be sitting in front of a computer and look at any images and videos that I want to look at, whether they be right or wrong? Why talk to God when I could be having this totally inappropriate conversation that's absolutely hilarious with my friends, even though I know it doesn't honor God? Why do things for the kingdom of Jesus when I could just sit at home and be comfortable and have fun and do the things I want to do? Those things seem really enticing once your view has been distorted on how important your connection with Jesus really is. It's the thing that gives you life. It's like being plugged into the power source and you walk over and say, you know what, this just doesn't seem real important, and you unplug it and you're like, you literally are losing the very thing that keeps you alive. Because Jesus has died and rose again to give you that life. And being connected to him is what gives you life. We were never designed to live this alone, and some of us are trying to. Let me just live this life alone. Let me do it. Just leave me alone, God. And so Paul, look back at the passage, right? Paul says in verse 16, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you, right? Be careful, right? Don't be guilty of this thing. He's like giving us a warning. He says, in questions of food or drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. What he's doing is he's listing all these things that in that time, people were making a big deal out of these things that didn't matter. These were all religious things, festivals, new moons. These are like false religions and other things that practices people were doing that were like, this is so important. And Paul's like, they have no basis in God or truth or scripture. They're worried about what you eat and drink and these rituals. Instead of the fact that you know the living Savior, Jesus Christ, they care more about what you're putting in your mouth, what you're eating. Like, he's like, don't listen to this. He says this. He says, these are a shadow of things to come. It's not the real stuff. Listen, there are things we do that's important, but they're not Jesus. There are these things that we do that remind us of Jesus. When we take communion, you guys know what that is, the Lord's Supper. When we take bread and juice, and the bread represents the body of Christ as we eat it, and the juice represents his blood, what it does is reminds us that he died on a cross. His body was broken like that bread. His blood was shed like that juice, and it reminds us that's your Savior. But you know what? Eating that bread and drinking that juice does nothing to me spiritually. It's not magical. That's not where the power is. The power is the fact that you believe the Jesus that it represents. That connection you have to the real Jesus. His body and blood that was shed for you. And so Paul's saying, listen, like these are just empty shadows. These aren't the real thing. It's what's to come, that you will have a relationship with the creator of the universe. Why would you not want that? But we're stopping and we're listening to the voices that are saying, go jump on the puddle. Go jump on the ice. It'll be fine. We're not hearing the voice of Jesus say, your whole life depends on me. Stay connected to me. It's like if I brought up here a pizza box and invited you to come up here and was like, hey, man, come grab a slice of this pizza. It's delicious. And I take out like a hot pepper shaker and I open it up and sprinkle some flakes on there. I'm like, I have this with me. And you come over and you look in and it's just an empty box with now some pepper flakes on the bottom. You're like, where's the pizza? I'm like, oh no, it's totally there. Cause look, it says Domino's right on the box. It's got the label. It's fine. Like eat it. And you're like, I'm not eating cardboard. Like you would think I was insane. That would be insanity to you. And you'd be right. But we're okay doing that with Christianity. We do the exact same thing with Jesus. We're good with just this like fake emblem of Jesus, this cross that I wear, a Christian t-shirt I put on, or all the fake things that aren't really Jesus, but it makes me look like I'm a Christian. And so that's powerful. And Jesus is like, there's no power at all in that. You're taking the empty thing. It's a shadow. It's an empty box, but here I am and I want a relationship with you. I want to do life with you. I want to change your life. Let me be a part of it. Too many of us are like, nah, I'm going to keep the box. I'm okay that it's empty. I'm okay that you keep a distance from me. And Paul says, but the substance belongs to Christ. Like, that's where the power is, y'all. If you're trying to live a Christianity that's just coming to church or it's just religion, you're missing it. You are missing it. You're not experiencing anything that Jesus promises. Because the power is in our connection to Jesus. That's what should bring you to church. That's what should cause you to sing out when we worship these songs and raise your hands and clap and be like, Jesus, you're awesome, and want to worship him instead of just standing there like, all right, is this over? You're like, I can't wait to tell you and sing out to you how great you are. You know why? Because you're connected to him. And he's changing you and he's filling you. Too many of us are happy with the empty box. I go to youth group. That's enough. Great. That's awesome you're here. But listen, connect to Jesus while you're here. Taste the real thing. Be a part of something real, who Jesus actually is in your life. Let him change you. In verse 18, Paul says, let no one disqualify you, insisting on, here's some big words, all right, asceticism and worship of angels. So there's these people that are just, they're literally trying to live this rigid, rigid Christian life and follow all of these rules. And some would even literally beat themselves every time they sinned to like make themselves pay for what they did. And they thought if they did this enough, they would get holy enough to literally be amongst the angels and earn this level of like, I'm now on the level of angels and now God's going to raise me up to this thing. Some would even worship angels to try to get like a favor to get into that group. And Paul's like, that's not even in scripture. That's not even in the Bible. That's not how it works. We're not trying to get to a level of the angels. Jesus has already made us a co-heir with him. Jesus has died and put his very blood on us. So when God looks at us, he sees his very son. Forget the angels. Why are we trying to move down a ring? And Paul's like, this is insane. You guys are believing all these fake things. He says, puffed up without reason to be reasoned by his sensuous mind. You know what all, I know they're big words, but here's what it means. We're trying to show off, some of us. Straight up, puffed up without reason. Like, look at what I can do. Look at the religion that I have. Look at how close I am to Jesus or how much Bible I know. And there's some of us that do that and we don't live it out. It's without reason. And really all that's doing is making my pride happy. Because people will look at me and go, oh man, you're spiritual. You know God. Jesus really loves you. And I do it for the pats in the back. And Paul's like, that's no reason to do it. That's empty. You're trying to look spiritual, but really you're just filling up your flesh. Yeah, you're coming to youth group. Yeah, you're going to church. You're doing these things. But what is your relationship with Jesus really like? Is it transforming you from the inside out? Like, do you have the real thing? I don't know about you, but I don't care about fakes anymore. I'm tired of the fake thing that doesn't get me anywhere. And people just look at me and like, oh, he's got that thing. Great. I want the real thing, whatever it might be, right? And when it comes to Jesus and religion, why settle? You can have the God of creation living within you. You can have a relationship with him. Why settle? Why not have the real thing? And these people were settling, and Paul's like, what are you doing? You're missing it. You're so close. Verse 19, he says, and not holding fast to the head. Like, here's the solution. You guys aren't holding on to Jesus. You're holding on to all these other things. Hold on to the one who's the head of everything from the whole body, right? And he goes on. He says, everything's knit together. We're all a part of this thing, but it's all connected to Jesus. Are you connected to Jesus? Have you been living an empty Christian life? Have you been content with a fake? Satisfied with that empty box? Because God wants to offer you more. He wants to give you the real thing if you're ready for it. Paul says you have to be connected to Christ to get it. That's where it's all at. And then he says, look at this next verse. Paul says in verse 20, if with Christ you died, if you literally left that old fleshly life behind, when you accepted Jesus in that moment where you said, Jesus, this isn't working. This isn't enough. I'm done with this old life that cares about my flesh and this world. I want the real thing. And you stepped away and said, I'm leaving that behind and I'm giving you all of me. I want the real thing. Forgive my sin in my life. Save me. Paul says, if you've done that, if you've really died with Christ, you died, look at to what you died to, the elemental spirits of the world, like everything around you that you tend and I tend to live for. Those things that we think make us happy and feel good. Like, you're dying of those things. You're saying, you're dead now. Like, I don't care about you anymore. I'm done with you. I want to follow Jesus. You're like, man, that's scary. I don't know how I'm going to give this stuff up. I love it. Then you pray. And you say, God, will you turn my heart from this? Will you help me see how much better you are so I can just leave this behind and follow you? God, will you do something in me? Open my eyes up. Help me see this. Because Paul says, you've died to those things. So here's what he says. He says, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations, right? According to human precepts and teachings. He's talking about, like, we're still living like we're here. And some of us are saying we're over here. We're saying that, Jesus, I follow you. I'm a Christian. I read my Bible. I do these things. I go to church. Like, I care about God. I call myself a Christian and I'm saved. But yet, If I look at your life, you're over here and you're like, man, I'm still living in the world caring about these things. Paul's like, why? Why be a fake? You know why we tend to be fake? Because we've accepted a fake. You took the empty box. You didn't get the real Jesus. You didn't care about the real connection with a Savior that changes your life. We just want to claim him. Keep living this way. And y'all, there are way too many Christians in today's world that do that very thing. There are churches all around the world that are completely changing what they preach and what they believe about the Bible to accept, tolerate, and embrace sin. Because they want to walk here. They want to be just deep into the world and not over here, entrenched in Jesus, saying, I need your grace and your forgiveness. Like, let me leave that behind. Paul says, why are you still living that way? Should have changed you. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom, he says. Looks really smart. Like when I watch people, like celebrities with all their money and all the things that they have, and I see their life, it's like, man, that's so attractive. I would love to have that. I would love to live like that. I would love to like that's an awesome life. So I look back and see what I could have. And I see where this ends up and how broken it really is and how it's never going to fulfill me and how at the end of the day, it's never actually fixed any problem. The dead soul that I have never came back to life. My sin is still there. It's never been forgiven. My relationship with a God who created me and wants me, still don't have it. But a connection with Christ is the only thing that causes me to now say, Jesus, I want all of that. I want to step into that with you. Paul's like, why are you still living that way? He says, it looks smart, right? In promoting self-made religion, that word asceticism again, right? Looking like all like tough and even severity of the body. And that's what I was telling you before. They would literally beat themselves to look like, man, look how holy I am. I make myself like punish myself for my sin. But they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Some of you guys might literally be in this spot tonight. You're facing that one sin that's got the stronghold in your life and it doesn't want to let you go. And you hate it. I don't want that sin. I feel like a slave because I keep getting sucked back into this thing over and over again that I don't want to do, but my mind keeps going back there and I just keep falling into that same sin. And then I feel horrible after, and I get this like guilt and shame and this feeling, and I'm like, I never want to do it again. And I pray and I tell Jesus, God, I'm sorry, forgive me, I don't want to do this again. And then the next day, all of a sudden, I'm back in that same situation, and I feel like I get pulled right back into the same sin. And it's this pattern, and it feels like it happens every day and just keeps happening over and over. Paul says there's some people that experience that, and they tried all sorts of things. They tried everything. Literally whipping themselves and beating themselves and doing these things to be like, I will make myself stop. And he's like, it doesn't work. It won't stop. Look at what he says, the indulgence of the flesh. Your flesh is still going to want to go right back there every time. There's one way, and if you're stuck in that sin that you hate and you want it gone and you want freedom from it and you're tired of the guilt and the shame, Jesus is the only way. That connection with Christ is the only thing that can help you get freedom from that. Any other thing in your life that you're facing, the answer really always comes back to this one thing. God, it has to start with Jesus. If you're trying to skip that step and do other things to accomplish something in your life, you didn't start with Jesus. Then you missed it. Paul's saying you missed it. If you're struggling with identity and self-image and the way you look and dress and making sure people pay attention to you, the answer isn't dressing better and getting in shape and jumping in the gym. The first answer is, do I know who I am in Jesus? kind of value I have in Jesus. Let it start there. If you're struggling with porn, if you're struggling with lust and images, and or maybe your relationship that's getting too physical or already has been for a long time, you're struggling with some guilt or some shame about that, the answer is in Jesus. He has to transform your heart first so that those things, all of a sudden, you can see them clearly again for what they really are, destructive things in your life. Things that break your relationship with God, with other people, and even with yourself. But when you're disconnected from Jesus, it seems like they're the greatest thing on earth, and they're killing you. Paul says, you need the connection back. You need to look back over and clearly see who he is and say, Jesus, I've been straying. Would you help me get back in relationship with you? Help me abide in you. Help me get that clear focus of what the gospel is and who you are again. Would you amaze me by who you are? Cause me to fall deeper in love with you. It needs to start there. And if you're starting anywhere else or just skipping over it completely, listen, you've missed it. Don't listen to the voices. Whatever voice might tell you to go a different direction, even if it's in the one in your own head, don't listen to it. Giving you directions that are just going to get you lost. Would you listen to Jesus? He knows where you need to go, and he can get you there. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? As the band comes back up to lead us in some more worship, here's what I would love for us to be able to do tonight. As we sing these next couple songs, what if these next couple songs we sing weren't just singing random Christian songs? What if, as you stood up in just a minute, like I'm going to ask you to do, when you sang these songs, it was because you're connected to Jesus? What if we sang louder than we've ever sung at Firehouse before? Not because we're trying to impress anybody around us. Not even because I just said it. But because we're looking at Jesus going, you're worth it. How could I timidly, quietly sing these truths about you? They're real. They're true. What if the Holy Spirit took your heart over tonight in this room? What if his presence filled this place up? And as we worshiped, it was a heart that said, Jesus, I want you more than anything, and I'm going to scream it out to you right now. I don't care if I can't sing. I can't hold a note. It's not about that. It's about telling you who you are, and I believe it. Before we sing this song, will you just do me a favor? Will you just quickly say a simple prayer? God, show me. Show me that I need a connection with you today.